This morning's scripture will come from John chapter 9. John chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. John 9, 1 through 5. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.
Morning. Glad to see everyone here this morning. I hope you'll keep your Bibles open there to John chapter 9, as that will be our text for this morning. I'd like to join Curtis in welcoming our visitors. If you are visiting with us, so glad that you're here. I want to invite you to be back with us anytime that you may be able to do so. In John chapter 9, we read of a man or a son that was born blind. Here, specifically in verses 1 through 12, to begin with, we have a man that was, as we said, born blind. He had been born this way. He had always lived with a disability. And so, as such, during this day and time, many that were born that were lame or crippled or blind, or even at times deaf, they would have to resort to being on the side of the street, there in the main street, and begging to make ends meet. In order for them to be able to eat, in order for them to have a roof over their head, they had to beg. And here we see Jesus walking down the road, it seems, and he sees this man, and he knew somehow that this man had been born blind. Seems they may have come by him before. The disciples seem to have known him who sinned. They said in verse 2 that this man was born blind. And so they seem to have this concept here, this misconception, that sin caused one to be born with certain disabilities or deformities. And Jesus takes this as a teaching opportunity. He lets them know that this man had not sinned, neither did his parents, but that the glory of God would be seen in him. And so he goes on and he spits upon the ground. And of the spittle he makes a clay, and he puts that clay upon the blind man's eyes, and he tells him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam, which by interpretation is sent. And he goes and he washes, and he began then to have sight. What a great lesson we can learn here from a son born blind. See, Jesus gave this man a positive command to remove his blindness. And friends, you and I today have a positive command today to remove sin. The command to be baptized. But friends, in this story, this account of which we read here in John chapter 9, there are three very distinct reactions to Jesus. And as we study this passage this morning here in John chapter 9, I would like for each of us to reflect upon ourselves and see with which clash do we identify. Do we identify with the Pharisees, of whom we're about to read? Do we identify with this man's parents? Or do we identify with the son who was born blind? Let's read our passage. Anthony began reading 1 through 5. I want us to pick up there in verse 6. And let's read the remainder of the chapter and see the context of our study. Beginning there in verse 6, we read, When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He's like him, but he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay, and anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam, and wash. And I went and washed, and received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, He is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind, and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, Why herein is a marvelous thing that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and said unto him, Are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, We see. Therefore your sin remaineth. Friends, as we read through this, we saw, as I said, three classes of people. You have the class of folks that are represented by the Pharisees, of whom we read there in verses 13 through 18. Let's study that particular passage for just a moment there, that class represented there by the Pharisees. They saw and heard the testimony of the miracle. They had people that had eyewitnessed this. They saw, they knew that this man had been born blind. They'd seen him all the days of their lives, sitting on the side of the road begging for money so that he could eat, so that he could live. And they knew that he was blind. And when they saw him, that he was able to see, that he wasn't feeling around to see where he was going, but that he was able to walk maybe without doing these certain things that a blind person would have to do to be able to get around, to be able to cope. They said, Is not this the man that sat begging? Was he not born blind? And so, being the Sabbath, they brought him to the Pharisees. The Pharisees had eyewitness testimony of what had happened. They asked the man himself, What happened? What did he do to you? What went on? Tell us exactly what happened. And so he tells them. He made clay, and he put it up on my eyes, and he told me to go and wash. When I did those things, I was able to see. They couldn't believe it. They refused to believe that Jesus was from God. Notice verse 16 again. This man is not of God, they say. Because why? He keepeth not the Sabbath. Friends, if we were to go back and we were to look in the Old Testament and we were to look at the laws concerning the Sabbath, we would see that they're very simple. Not much to them. But when the Pharisees came along and they began to get more and more and more and more legalistic, they began to add things to this and add things to that and then go forth and so on, so forth and so on. It became very complicated. Jesus did not violate the Sabbath here. But they said he does not keep the Sabbath. And my friends, what they mean by that is he did not keep the Sabbath according to our laws. So they say he's not from God. They refused to believe that Jesus was from God. Their minds were closed, and they cast the man out of the synagogue and accused him of sin. Look at verse 34. They answered and said unto him, "Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us?" And they cast him out. You know, the Pharisees had this self-righteous attitude. They felt, you know, that we are God's chosen people. We know the law frontwards and backwards. We know how to keep the law. And here you are, a sinner, and you're telling us what we ought to believe. You're trying to teach us how we ought to do. And so they cast him out. Friends, a question that we need to ask ourselves. If we're going to perform this self-examination this morning, do we belong to that class that is represented by the Pharisees? Do we have similar attitudes? How willing are we to weigh evidence contrary to an accepted belief? Maybe we have been taught something our entire lives. And then someone comes along and says, "Well, you know what? The Bible says something different." And we begin to study, how willing are we to weigh that evidence that's contrary to what we've been taught our entire lives? Do we keep an open mind? Do we look at the Bible and see what it says? Or do we say, you know, I've been taught this all my life, so it doesn't matter. I'm going to do what I've always been taught. This is what has been accepted. This is what I've always done. And so this is how it's going to be done. Friends, if I have that closed mind when it comes to the gospel of Jesus, if I've got my mind made up already, then friends, we may be in trouble. We may be in this class that is represented by the Pharisees. Along with that, friends, let me ask this question. Are we willing to change our minds? Are we willing to change our beliefs if we are shown to be wrong? What do? When we believe with all our heart that something is right, and we begin to see evidence that we've been wrong, do we bristle? Do we get defensive? Or do we accept the truth and dig deeper? Do we want to do what's right? Do we want to seek out Jesus? Do we want to seek out the truth? Or are we like the Pharisees? We've been doing it like this for hundreds of years. It's how my parents did it. It's how my grandparents did it. It's how their parents did it. And that's how I'm going to do it. How's it going to be? Do I belong to this class? Friends, if I belong to this class, I've got some changing to do. Then our next question is, do we belong to the class represented by the parents? The parents are brought before the Pharisees in verses 19 through 23. They refused to believe, number one, that the man was born blind until they'd heard it from the horse's mouth, so to speak. They wanted to hear from the parents. After all, they would know, wouldn't they? They gave birth to this man. And so they wanted to know, was he indeed born blind? And they asked them that question, and they said, of course. This is our son. We won't deny that. We will not deny that he was born blind. But what do we see of their attitudes? After they have answered truthfully concerning him being their son, concerning him being blind, Rather, it seems, than being grateful that their son, who has been blind all his life, can now see, they want to remain neutral. They want to sit on the sidelines. They don't want to get caught in the middle. They tried, in a manner of speaking, to be like Pilate. You remember Pilate in Matthew 27 concerning Jesus. He said that he would wash his hands. Matthew 27 verse 24 we read, when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude. Notice what he says. He says, I am innocent of this blood, of the blood of this just person. See you too. Here was the only human being that had the power to release Jesus. But rather than let him go, he says to the people, see you to it. I'm innocent of his blood. You do what you feel you need to do. He sat back on the sidelines and tried to remain neutral. Friends, they were afraid. This man's parents were afraid of the consequences of getting involved with Jesus. You see, the Bible tells us here that the Pharisees had already decided that if anybody said that Jesus was the Christ, we're going to cast them out of the synagogue. In other words, we're going to ostracize them. We're going to blackball them. They're not going to have any part to do with us. They're not going to be able to come here and worship with us. They're not going to be able to come here and do anything. We're going to cast them out. They tried to remain neutral. Friends, what does Jesus say about remaining neutral? Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30, we read, he that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Friends, are we trying to remain on the sidelines right now? We read in Mark chapter 8 and verse 38 concerning Jesus. Jesus in his own words, he says, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my works in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Friends, are we nominal Christians today with no intention of really getting involved? Do we sit back on the fringe looking at the others who are involved? Do we justify where we are because of our situation? I'm just too busy. I've got so much going on. You know, I can't really do much right now. I can't really get all that involved. You know, isn't our situation so very different than anyone else's? Oftentimes we feel that way, don't we? I have a special case. I can't do this. I can't really get involved because of such and such. You know, we may think no one else understands what we go through as compared to everyone else. Friends, when we're asked to teach, when we're asked to lead prayer, when we're asked to do some physical work, when we're asked to give up more time to the work, what's our attitude? Do we try to think of something else to do? Someone asks us to do something specific, do we say, you know what, I think so-and-so would be better for that? Do we work harder to get out of work than it would be just to go ahead and do it? Are we like these parents that rather than get involved, we'd rather just sit back on the sidelines? Friends, let's read what Jesus had to say about those that would be lukewarm, that would claim to be Christians, that would claim to believe in God, that would claim to do His will, and yet not be involved. Turn over to Revelation chapter 3. want you to read with me verses 15 and 16. Revelation 3, verses 15 and 16. My pages will quit sticking together here. And he's writing to the Laodiceans. Notice what he says here, beginning in verse 15. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot, so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Friends, what does Jesus say here concerning those that would sit by on the sidelines and not be involved? He says he will spew them out of his mouth. And friends, in other words, you know what Jesus tells us here? Those that would sit by on the sidelines make him sick to his stomach. He would rather you not even be, he says, I would rather you be cold or hot. But because you stand in the middle, because you try to say you're Christian, you don't really act like one, he says, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Do we fit that class? Or, friends, do we, number three, fit the class represented by the blind man? When he was healed, he went and washed and he was able to see. Can you imagine the feelings that must have been going through this guy? All the emotions that he felt at that moment. Notice that he didn't keep it to himself. He began to tell others what Jesus had done for him. The neighbors seeing him, knowing that he had been blind from birth, seeing that he was able to see, they said, what happened? All of a sudden you're able to see. Tell us what's going on. And he said, their man healed me. He put clay on my eyes, told me to go and wash, and that now I'm able to see. They took him to the Pharisees, and notice he didn't hesitate to tell the Pharisees. They asked him what happened. He told them exactly what happened. Notice as well that when they tried to get him to call Jesus a sinner, a man that was not from God, he refused. He stood for Jesus. And notice, he didn't even know who Jesus was. Not to look at him. Because when Jesus asked him if he believed on the Son of Man, upon the Son of God, what was the blind man's response? Where is he? That I may believe on him. Jesus said, you're looking at him. You're talking to him. He said, I believe, and he worshiped him. Friends, here was a man that would not compromise his convictions. He would not be bullied into forsaking God. He would not be bullied into forsaking that person that had healed him. He boldly affirmed that Jesus was a prophet of God, verse 17 of chapter 9. He was not afraid what his peers would think or do, verses 30 and 33. They cast him out of the synagogue. Friends, here was a man that was going to be ostracized. He was going to be left alone if the Pharisees had anything whatsoever to say about it. And though he suffered the consequence of his conviction, he was cast out of the synagogue, friends. He also enjoyed the reward of his conviction. Verse 41. Are we like this blind man in faith and action? Will we stand upon our convictions as this man stood upon his? When we are called upon to speak out for Christ, to speak out for God, friends, will we do it? Will we speak to others about Him? Will we stand firm upon His Word? To which class do you belong? Do Do you belong to the class represented by the Pharisees, refusing to believe, refusing to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? Friends, if you find yourself in that class, refuse no longer. Do you find yourself in the class represented by this man's parents? Having obeyed the gospel, maybe you've decided, or for one reason or another, to sit on the sidelines, to let someone else do the work. Or friends, do you belong to the class represented by the blind man? It's my hope and prayer that each one of us can answer that last one. That each one of us would belong to that class represented by the blind man. That we would stand upon our convictions. That we would speak out concerning the Word of God. That we would let it be known that we belong to Him. Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our songbooks. We're ready to sing the invitation song in just a moment. Friends, so you find yourself here this morning, and maybe in the past, you're like a Pharisee, thinking you were able to see when actually you're blind. Friends, the gospel of Jesus Christ is able to open our eyes. As we studied this morning in our Bible class hour, the gospel of Jesus Christ is able to set us free from the bondage of sin. Would you be set free this morning? Would you truly see with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are you like those hoping to see, and so will allow Jesus to make you see? Friends, would you obey His gospel? Would you confess His name before men after repenting of sins? And then, friends, would you be baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of those sins? See, well, the gospel tells us that we are indeed to hear, Romans 10 and verse 17, that we are to believe, as we read in John 3 and verse 16, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That we are to repent, as Jesus says in Luke 13 and verse 3, unless you all likewise repent, you shall all likewise perish, rather. That we are to confess His name before men. He tells us in Matthew 10, 32 and 33. That if we will not confess Him before men, that He will not confess us before the Father in heaven. Matthew 10, 9 and 10, or Romans 10, 9 and 10, rather, tells us that we are to confess with the mouth. And confession is made unto salvation. And once we've done those things, friends, the Bible tells us that we are to be baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins, because it's in the water. It's in that baptism, friends, that we come in contact with His blood. For His baptism represents His death, burial, and resurrection. Would you come in contact with the blood of Jesus this morning? Would you stand firm in your convictions? Friends, are you here this morning and find yourself in the situation of the parents? Having obeyed at some point, but deciding to, at one point or another, to stand on the sidelines. To no longer be involved. Friends, would you get involved? Would you be His again? Would you come back to Christ, to God, and be a faithful servant once more? Friends, if you want to be like the man that was born blind, the son that was born blind, would you come? Would you do so now while we stand and while we sing?